You're tuned in to the Grace Curley Show podcast. Listen to Grace live daily before Howie's show. For station and time, go to gracecurlyshow.com. Enjoy.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith. The last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. The Archduchess of the AM airwaves. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Hello, New England. Welcome to the Grace Curley Show, and thank you for joining us. I want to start with Joe Biden. I have a feeling I'm going to be starting a lot of shows with Joe Biden for the next 4 years, because he said something yesterday that caught a lot of people's attention. He hasn't made too many remarks, but the ones he makes, he's quality, not quantity. You get your bang for your buck. He makes a comment here or there, and you can ride with it for a while. One of them that really stuck out to me, and it seemed like it was prepared, which is the part that kind of boggles the mind, is that a lot of this stuff he's saying, someone wrote for him. And people sat around in a sort of think tank atmosphere and thought this was a good idea and said, let's put it on the teleprompter. I think this makes a lot of sense. So I want you to keep in mind here before you listen to this, that this is the guy who's going to unify America, make America decent again. He's going to bring us, restore us to the old norms and our former glory. And he believes in us. He's Joe. He's Lunch Bucket Joe. He believes in the American dream and all of us. Take a listen to Joe's take on America. This is cut one.
We have never fully lived up to the founding principles of this nation, state the obvious, that all people are created equal and have a right to be treated equally throughout their lives. And it's time to act now, not only because it's the right thing to do, but because if we do, we'll all be better off for it. For too long, we've allowed a narrow, cramped view of the promise of this nation to fester. You know, we've bought the view that America is a zero-sum game in many cases.
Can we pause right there for a sec? Fester. Trump oftentimes was accused of, you know, speaking in very dark terms, hateful rhetoric. This is the president of the greatest country in the world, and he thinks we've had a narrow view, and we've let this idea fester. Let's finish it.
If you succeed, I fail. If you get ahead, I fall behind. If you get the job, I lose mine. Maybe worst of all, if I hold you down, I lift myself up.
Who's you? And who's we? He keeps saying this is like our idea. This is what we've all been going for the last few years. I don't think that's true. And the reason I find this so preposterous right now, especially, and everyone knows I'm very patriotic. I come out here every day, and at some point our USA rant gets like worked in there. But I said this the other day. I said, just because Joe Biden's president, I'm never going to not be proud of my country. Unlike Democrats, I don't work that way. A lot of conservatives don't work that way. We love this country through the ups and the downs. Democrats don't. They love the country when they're in charge. They can be civil when they're in charge. And when they're not in charge, they're ashamed to be Americans. I mean, that's been made very clear over the past couple of terms. But to say right now that this is what you think of, not just America, but the people in America, the American citizens, it's disgusting to me, because I've seen so many businesses and so many people destroyed because of these lockdowns. And if there was ever a time where people would be angry and bitter and selfish and conniving, now would be the time, because things kind of stink and no one's really making it better as far as the government's concerned. And yet, I have to say, I'm continuously impressed by how awesome people are and how people go above and beyond to help their neighbor, even if they don't have much, or if their business is going out, they still get takeout to support the restaurant. They still buy gift cards and they still donate to charities, and they still go the extra mile because That's just who we are as a country. And I shouldn't have to explain that to the president of the United States. We shouldn't have to explain to Joe Biden what makes this country great and why it's never been about a zero-sum game here. Ask any immigrant who has come here with barely anything in their pockets and have made a life for themselves and for their children and for their children's children. And then along the way has helped all of these other companies and different people and employed people. There's so many stories like that. I don't even need to list them off because there's so many. You can just Google it. The American Dream. And if you skip over the first few liberal sites, I promise you, you'll find some good stuff. And the fact that the president of the United States is saying this, and that's what he thinks we're all about here, is insane. And the reason I find it so amazing is that I'm not only always impressed by how kind people are to each other right now. I said this a few months ago. We did the Howie Carr Charity Hour. And I said to Howie, you know, this is one of those times you'd think people would stop giving or you think people would, you know, kind of seclude themselves and worry about themselves. And I said, people aren't like that. It's the craziest thing, but we live in the greatest country in the world and people always help each other. And the only people who are about putting other people down and keeping them down, I don't have to tell you guys, you know who it is. It's the government. Right now in our country, the only people who are making everyone's lives more difficult, significantly more difficult, is the government. And they're the same people telling us that we're not nice enough and we don't give enough and we're racist and we're hateful. And I want to play for you an example of a guy who's seen, if anyone's seen the government dominate people, it's this guy. This was a dad. He was at a school meeting, some sort of board, and he got up to the podium and he just let them have it. And it's really amazing. Let's play cut four.
You should all be fired from your day jobs because if your employers knew that you were more inefficient than the DMV, you would be replaced in a heartbeat. I literally just finished a conference call because I'm having to multitask to be here to address you guys. You're a bunch of cowards hiding behind our children as an excuse for keeping schools closed. You think you are some sort of martyrs because of the decisions you're making when the statistics do not lie that the vast majority of the population is not at risk from this virus. The garbage workers who pick up my freaking trash risk their lives every day more than anyone in this school system. Figure it out or get off the podium. Because you know what? There are people like me and a lot of other people out there who will gladly take your seat and figure it out. It's not a high bar. Raise the freaking bar.
If you hear that, by the way, if you hear that and your instant reaction is not empathy and understanding and you can't hear the heartbreak in that man's voice, you have to figure it out because you're on the wrong side of this thing. And that's not his neighbors and that's not his fellow Americans who are making his life difficult. I mean, it is technically, but it's the government. Joe Biden wants to talk about how we all want to, you know, get ahead and keep other people down. Physician, heal thyself. Let's open these schools. Let's open businesses. Let's let people get back to work. We're going to have that man on the show in the next segment. His name is Brandon Michon. And there's more to that clip. Because, of course, when he leaves, they want to wipe the podium down with, you know, Lysol. Complete insanity. Don't go anywhere, guys. Got a great guest coming up and a lot more to get to. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
The garbage workers who pick up my freaking trash risk their lives every day more than anyone in this school system. Figure it out or get off the podium. Because you know what? There are people like me and a lot of other people out there who will gladly take your seat and figure it out.
Not to sound like Lauren Wolf from the New York Times, but I have chills. Hearing someone say what we've all been thinking for months and months and months on end is really amazing. And I'm very fortunate to have Brandon Michon with us right now. He is the father who was at the podium talking to Brandon. Explain to us what it was. Was it a school meeting or what?
Yeah, it was a school board meeting. I actually have to give credit to my wife and actually my mother. They've been very involved for the last few months. They got me to speak at various, you know, the meetings over the last few months. And, you know, my wife and I and my two children, I have a five-year-old son, or sorry, I have a five-year-old daughter and an eight-year-old son who actually both spoke before me, and my two-year-old was in tow. So, you know, I wish you could have heard my son speak. He, you know, he was promising to wear his mask and promising to social distance as long as he could go back to class. And, you know, my intent wasn't to upstage anybody, but, you know, in the heat of the moment, you kind of have to show your passions.
No, I totally agree. And Brandon, I got to ask you, though, I think a lot of people feel this same way. And it's a sentiment I've heard from a lot of parents, especially a lot of people concerned about their kids' welfare and their kids' education. But what led you to this point where it kind of boiled over and you just laid it out for them?
Well, I think the issue is not, I think this is all throughout the country, right? I'm not the only parent who's speaking at school board meetings. You know, there's lots of parents out there who been asking boards to make a plan. And a lot of these people who are elected officials who, you know, who can take their kids, their own families to sporting tournaments and other social events, but they can't show up in person to the meetings that they've been elected for. And when you ask people to make a plan, you expect them to bring that forward. That's why we elect people. That's why we have this democratic society we have. And so after asking and asking and expecting and not receiving, you know, eventually you have to have a different tone. You know, just as with young children, sometimes you can ask politely, but sometimes you have to give them a stern discussion and let them know that, you know, you need to pay attention.
And Brandon, I've heard from a lot of parents who are saying that it's starting to feel as if they're being prepared to never go back, that these teachers, and whether it's the teachers' unions or the school committees, that they're getting the sense that it's never going to go back to normal. Have you gotten that sense, or do you have a little bit of hope that maybe things are going to change up in the next couple months?
Yeah, I mean, great question. Look, I try to be an optimistic person, and I always look or try to look on the bright side of things, and, you know, I hope things get better. I hope, you know, we get through this as a country, as a world, as people. I mean, this disease doesn't care about who you are, what you are, what you believe in. It affects people, but in the end, we can't run and hide. You know, I think politics aside, it comes down to a lot of different factors. I mean, we have elected officials who are sitting back with, you know, paychecks. Yep. That they are receiving. There are a lot of families out there who've had their businesses that they've put blood, sweat, and tears into be, you know, crushed by this pandemic, whereas the government continues to fund people's paychecks. And I think I don't blame the teachers because, you know, I think a lot of teachers and the majority of the teachers actually probably want to be back in the classrooms. And it is hard to speak up out of fear of repercussions because if you're in a big business or someplace where there's, you know, powers that be, it's hard to always speak up. And that's where I thought, you know, my current life circumstances allow me to not have to answer to someone, you know, above me and in fear of my job. And so I felt it was a good opportunity to kind of show that passion. But I think there's more people out there, and I'm just trying to be a voice and a conduit to help people know that you know, we should figure out a way to get our kids back in school and get things back towards some normalcy.
Brandon, you actually just answered my next question, which was going to be, were you afraid of being canceled when you made those comments? Because I think a lot of people, although they may have strong opinions, they don't want their boss to hear about it and then, you know, deal with the repercussions. But you answered that. My next question for you is, I don't have kids. I see a lot on Twitter from parents who, you know, are outspoken about it. But what is the at-home learning like for your kids? Especially you said you have a five-year-old and an eight-year-old. Are they in front of the computer a lot? Like, how does it work at home?
Yeah, I mean, I have a 2, 5, and 8, and actually a pregnant wife as well. So, you know, look, those are my own life circumstances that I've chose as a family, and I'm a very family-oriented person. But, you know, no five-year-old, my daughter's in kindergarten, my son's in third grade, and my two-year-old just wants to play, right? So how do you do that all at the same time? Well, the hard part is my daughter went back to, you know, part-time in-person learning before they shut it down. And her teacher, who had been, you know, remote with her for a month before, sent my wife an email and said, and by the way, all of the teachers are great. I just want to acknowledge that. But, you know, she said, wow, Scarlett is so wonderful. Her personality is so different than what I see on a computer. Yeah, well, what five-year-old wants to play computer games? Or not computer games, sorry, play on the computer or listen to a Zoom meeting for 6 hours? You know, I worked in the corporate environment for a long time, and adults don't even want to pay attention to Zoom meetings for 5 hours at a time. So it's very, you know, stressing on the family. My eight-year-old son looks defeated a lot of the times. My two-year-old's not getting the attention from my wife because she's the at-home, you know, proctor trying to keep them paying attention. And, you know, the teachers are in very similar situations. They have children too, and they're having to, you know, juggle lots of different things. But, you know, the solution isn't to just continue to have our kids be robots behind a screen. It's, you know, I truly said, and I said it in my speech yesterday, the statistics don't lie, that the youth of this, you know, country are not impacted in the same way as other people. And we should, as a society, be able to figure out how to get them back safely to school and create and not lose valuable years of their lives.
And like you're saying, it's following the science. That's usually what the government likes to do. That's what they tell us, at least. And I'm talking to Brandon Michon. He's going viral for, I don't want to call it a rant, Brandon, because it doesn't really do it justice. You really did put into words how a lot of people feel. I tweeted it out from my account. Other people can check it out. But Brandon, I have to play for my audience here, and I hope you don't mind. I'm going to play the second part of this clip when you left the podium. And so I'm sitting there watching this, and I'm thinking, yes, he nailed it. Like, that's exactly how I feel. I hope these people listening, like, I hope these people at the podiums let that sink in. I hope they understand it. And then what do I hear? Can you make sure the podium's wiped down, please? And I thought, it's like talking to brick walls. So we're going to play that for you guys, and then we're going to have Brandon's reaction on the other side.
I'm going to give staff an opportunity to make sure that the podium and microphone have been...
Please wipe it down ahead of time, please, because we don't want anything to affect us.
Sir, your time is finished. Can you please leave the boardroom?
It's okay. Don't worry about it.
Thank you.
I'll be back next time, and the next time. Open the freaking school!
Can I ask the deputy to please make sure the gentleman leaves the boardroom?
Come on, I'll walk out with you.
There's another one out there.
All right, let's walk.
So their takeaway, Brandon, from your speech was that they had to wipe down the podium.
Yeah, well, it's kind of funny because, you know, the moderator, they start a clock. There's, you know, trying to talk in 60 seconds. It's hard, right? You're trying to say everything you want really quickly, and it's easy to get flustered. But they actually buzz you with this, like, super loud buzzer. And I ended with, like, a couple seconds, so you didn't hear it. But they buzz you. And the crazy thing, and look, we're adults. I'd say most adults have some type of thick skin, and you can, you know, let things shrug off your shoulders. But when you have children up there, I mean, again, my daughter, who's five, spoke. She didn't say a lot, but she spoke. And my eight-year-old spoke. And, you know, no one, and I've been to numerous of these, not a single board member has said thank you. You know, just say thank you to the children. You know how frightening it is? Well, there's grown men and women who can't even talk in a group of five people out loud without fear. And you have children who are trying to do it, and our school board, who's trying to promote education and, you know, growth in society, can't even say thank you. So that's what kind of pushed me over the edge at the end, because I'm walking out and their first thought was, you know, clean the table, right? Well, they're not cleaning it every time. Now, a little bit of full disclosure, my two-year-old, I think, might have coughed or something, you know, right before I spoke. So maybe that's that. But, you know, it was quickly pushed this to the side and, you know, feel like you have to, you know, speak up a little more. And, you know, the decorum rules are you can't speak after a lot of time. So they had to escort me out. You know, but with officers, obviously there was nothing, you know, no ill intent, but, you know, they're quick to scurry you away versus, try to find a solution.
And I have to say, I thought the most powerful part of your speech, I'm talking to Brandon Michon, and you guys can check out, the rant he had. It's going to be on my Twitter. I keep retweeting it because I want everyone to see it. But I thought the most powerful part was when you talked about the trash men who come every day, because there does seem to be this real disparity about who's who's essential, who's non-essential, who can, you know, risk their lives and who can't. And there's been people working at Dunkin' Donuts and people, you know, people who have been going about their daily life. My cousin's a nurse, and she said, we have 60-year-old women who are nurses changing beds every single day. And that's the job they chose, and that's the job they're doing. So I like the fact that you brought up that some people are doing their jobs every day, and then some people aren't. And the only ones who are really suffering because of that refusal are the children.
Exactly. And look, you know, trying to stay a little bit out of the politics of it, but, you know, the person who works at the local convenience store, you know, they might have children as well. And, you know, they don't have the optionality to work remotely to check you out from getting your soft drink or donut or, you know, hot dog, right? The people who go work at fast food restaurants and all these other service industries, they don't have the optionality to sit at home. And, you know, the thing that frustrates my family is the school board says, hey, we need the vaccine for our teachers. Well, look, unless there's a line around the corner with people saying, give me the vaccine, I want to be back in schools, then give it to the people who are risking their lives every day. I sit and look out my window, and the Amazon delivery guys are flying up and down the street. Those guys are higher risk, just like the trashmen. You know, the trashmen, they have a tough job, right? And no one's saying, hey, are those guys staying healthy? So it's easy for, you know, the government to say, the private sector, you know, figure it out. We'll just sit back and watch. But, you know, look, there's a lot of industries that are not being acknowledged for the risk they're taking as well. And not everyone's, not everyone's fallen dead from this. So I think we can find solutions and do them smartly. But I think we have to acknowledge that, again, think about our children and find solutions if all these other industries can figure out a way to continue to operate.
And Brandon, I know you don't want to get too much into the politics, but I do have to say, and I think it's important, Joe Biden was asked a question the other day about, you know, what schools need to go back. And he started listing off all these different things, ventilators and testing. And it seems like the goalposts are moving further and further out. So do you have any comments on that? I mean, it seems like now they're setting up this unrealistic standard of what they need for kids to go back to school.
Look, I think a solution would be get a bunch of 12th graders together and have them think of ways and do it as a case study, right? Who can do it, the government or the 12th graders?
I know who I'm putting my money on.
I think you could get a lot of cool, college essays out of that. Look, the government has always been a quick to take, hard to give, right?
Yeah.
They'll tax and you got to get your money back, right? That's why you file tax returns in April. But look, I don't want to get into the political side of it. I don't think it doesn't matter if you're red, blue, green, orange, whatever, politically. This comes down to children and their families, and the school boards throughout the nation need to figure out ways to put that back as their priority. I think we've forgotten over this last year as the world's gotten hectic that, you know, the children, which are the ones who are going to be taking care of us when we're older, are the priorities of our lives. And whether or not you have them directly as a citizen of your county, it is very important for you to care that our children are being taught and are getting the mental health side of it as well. Because, you know, I pause to say this, but, you know, I've been told there have been numerous suicides from children in my county, as well as a couple teachers. And, you know, if you just say that's a couple, right, a handful, say it's five, right, that's five lives that, you know, you can say it's killed by COVID, right, because it's a direct implication of that. But, you know, what happens as this continues? You know, luckily my wife's in a position where she's home right now, but if she wasn't, you know, how would my children fare? Who's there to look out for them? You got to ask her grandmother or aunt or somebody. And there's a big mental side of this that people aren't addressing. And the solution is to get them back so that they can open back up. And, you know, I don't care who's sitting in the Oval Office. The question isn't who's sitting there. The question is, what are the real solutions? Don't move the goalpost. Put a plan in action, get it done, execute, and people will reward you for that.
Brandon Michon, thank you so much for joining us. You should be very proud of your children for speaking at that, and they should be very proud of you. You did a great job. We really appreciate it. And again, everyone can find that video on my Twitter. We'll be talking more about that as the day goes on. Sticking to your New Year's resolution is a matter of making one right decision at a time. I know it's tough. It's intimidating. You feel like, oh, do I get a gym membership? What do I do? Well, I'm telling you, if you're looking to institute some healthy habits and improve your lifestyle this year, you need to check out Superbeat's Heart Chews. Just 2 Superbeat Heart Chews per day give you the cardiovascular support and promote the heart-healthy energy you need to chase your goals. I like it because it really helps if you have bad circulation in your legs. It makes you feel better. Superbeat's Heart Chews combine non-GMO beets and clinically researched grapeseed extract, shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure than a healthy lifestyle alone. When it comes to implementing healthy habits this year, adding Superbeat's Heart Chews to your daily routine is an easy decision to make. That's the best part of Superbeat's. It's very easy. And now you can get a free 30-day supply of Superbeat's Heart Chews, plus a free 30-day supply of their new delicious flavor, Super Grapes, with your first purchase by going to, here's the key, guys. You got to go to getsuperbeats.com/grace. That's 2 free gifts valued at over $50. Only available at getsuperbeats.com/grace. That's getsuperbeats.com/grace. Thanks again to Brandon for coming on. What a great rant that guy had. It really did give me chills. We'll tweet it out again. I'll be right back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
What I'm saying is you can't solve the problem alone, but our doing things makes an enormous difference. What Gina succeeds in pulling together is essential to our ability to have credibility in the world.
Ah, John Kerry lecturing us on how to get credibility in the world.
Manny Ortiz.
Are we going to send pallets of cash to Iran again? How did that do for credibility? Is he talking about climate change, I'm guessing?
Yeah, it's a climate change press conference.
You know, David Marcus, who we had on the show yesterday, his Twitter's @BlueBoxDave, he tweeted out, wait, so these people can't get a vaccine rollout to work, but they expect us, I can't remember what he said, they expect us to believe they can do. Oh, no, he said they can't get a Zoom meeting to work and they expect us to believe they can get a vaccine rollout. And I'm thinking to myself, vaccine rollout, they think they can change the temperature of the planet. They can't even get out stimulus checks to the right people. It's completely insane. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Follinsby Inn. Do what I did and enjoy this beautiful inn. To reserve your room, go to FollinsbyInn.com. I will be there for a weekend in February, February 19th. So make sure you check that out. I cannot wait. It's going to be kind of a listener hangout group thing, so it'll be really fun. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Should planes allow emotional support animals?
The reason I chose this as a poll question is because Southwest has banned emotional support animals, and I am going to say that no, they should not allow them.
88% of the audience says no, they should not.
Because unless you're blind and the dog's helping you get somewhere, then you don't need it.
Yeah, you don't need a potbelly pig to get through turbulence. I'm sorry to tell you that.
You don't need a peacock.
I don't like turbulence at all, but guess what?
Yeah, you don't like turbulence? Leave the peacock at home. Get a prescription for some Xanax. It's pretty basic. That's how people flew for hundreds of years.
Thousand generations.
A thousand generations didn't need peacocks. All right, guys, we will be back on the other side. Don't go anywhere. Neil McCabe in the 1 o'clock hour. This is The Grace Curley Show.